Imagine having all, guess all, of your learning challenges solved. With Docebo's Learning Suite, an AI-powered LMS built for enterprise, you can tackle any challenge. You can easily create and manage content, deliver training, and measure the business impact of your programs. Docebo is built for customers, partners, and employees alike, with dozens of integrations to embed directly in the flow of work. Check out Docebo today at docebo.com.
Welcome to C-Lab, the Customer Education Lab, where we explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, and take those myths and bad advice and put them in timeout until they can control themselves. I'm Adam Avramescu, and I am here today with special guest, Katie Felton. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Adam.
Great to have you on the show. Yeah, great to have you on. And actually, before we get into it, usually we do the National Day Of, and today is actually kind of a special day of, and I guess it's not just national, it's global, because today is the winter solstice.
Ah, of course. Yes. Longest day of the year. No, shortest day of the year.
Shortest day of the year. I wish it were the longest day of the year, because then things wouldn't be so depressing. I don't know how it is for you in New York, but at least here in Amsterdam, we're on the same latitude as Edmonton in Canada. So our days are getting pretty miserably short.
Very short. Yeah, we're pretty gray here all the time in Buffalo, New York. But yeah, definitely nighttime by 5 o'clock, bedtime by 6 o'clock these days.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm like really struggling to stay up once the sun goes down, but that's also most of my overlap time with the US. So I'm starting to feel like a night owl, or at least, kind of bringing beer onto the podcast earlier than I should.
I mean, that's fair. That's very fair this time of year.
Well, just for a little bit of context for our listeners, Katie and I got in touch when I put a call on LinkedIn for people who have experience with education, pricing, and packaging. And I was asking for recommendations on who can talk really capably about this. So Katie, I'm really glad that we got put in touch because of that. This is something that our listeners have been asking for more episodes on. So really excited to talk about this today. And for our listeners, Katie is, as she mentioned, based in Buffalo, New York, and is currently Director of Academies and Global Education Services at Anthology, Inc., which is an ed tech company who merged with Blackboard. If you know, Blackboard is the LMS for largely for higher ed, right?
Yep. We do have a business government sector as well.
Okay. Higher ed, business government. Yeah. Pretty common LMS.
Everything.
Right? Yeah. In 2021. Yeah. And Katie leads a team of about 30 members doing this work. So we'll be able to get into a really good conversation about services and about how you price and package. So maybe to get into it, for the past 3.5 years-ish, you've been leading Anthology's efforts to develop and deliver and package and price this academy. So can you tell me about the path that you took to get there? And maybe like what was it like when you came in 3.5 years ago? How did you evolve it to where it is now?
Yeah, so we're in an interesting situation. If we go back to 2020, we all remember what was happening in the world, but in our little corner, I actually was part of a smaller company called Campus Labs at the time, based in Buffalo. And in July of 2020, we were told we were merging with two other companies, iModules and Campus Management. And when those three companies came together, I was actually working in implementation at the time. So I was managing a team that was doing product implementations. And my VP came to me and said, hey, you know, we've got this new company and we're wanting to put together a global education services department with an academy offering. Do you want to be part of that? And I said, absolutely. Sounds great. What does that mean? And so I had a small team. We had about 9 of us, I want to say total, that started this whole thing in around September 2021. And what was really helpful and where I'm very lucky, I will acknowledge up front, is that this was actually something that came from our executive level. So we had C-suite support going into it. One of our executive members had had a very successful academy at a previous company and had brought that to this new founded company anthology. And so we undertook the task. It was my VP and another manager and myself at the time with deciding, what does it mean to be an academy? What do we need to offer? What does it need to look like? How do we take into account all of the other, again, we're bringing these three companies together. How do we bring together all the different expectations and needs and existing trainings from all these other companies and package it into something that is able to be sold, able to be recurring? Recurring revenue was a big push that started for us in that 2020-2021 timeframe. Mm-hmm.
Generating recurring revenue, like subscriptions for your academy programs. Is that right?
Exactly. Yep. Yep. Okay. So from the beginning, the intention was for us to be a revenue generating part of the company. And so then it was the balance of how do we do this while still meeting the needs that clients, you know, meeting expectations that clients might already have.
Yeah.
Some of the big challenges we faced, and this is still all pre-Blackboard, which comes later in fall 2021, we had about 40 different products that our team had to support, and we had to come up with some kind of way to think about all of these products with some kind of similar language.
Yeah.
And that was the big piece of our initial formation of all of this was, what do we call things? What do they look like? What do they mean? What do they mean to all our different clients? And that part, it was tough. It was tough. And I'll say one of our first sort of missteps, I would say, is trying to use a lot of language that was really internal to all of our different companies, as opposed to this broader, you know, customer facing, easy to understand, easy to recognize. So all of those pieces coming together.
Yeah. And let's stick with this before we get to the blackboarding of your company. Like, already we're talking about 40 different products, different, sounds like, taxonomies, terminologies, like everyone's talking about these products in different ways. But like, can you give us a taste of, when we're talking about 40 products, like what were these products? Like, how different were they from each other?
Yeah. So anthology has its name because the intention is we support everything from pre-admissions, admissions, all the way through alumni. So we're talking about software that's used in the admissions process. We're talking about student information systems. We're talking about customer management systems. We're talking about financial aid systems, alumni giving, student engagement, student success, every facet of a campus having all of these different products and sort of different pockets of the same larger audience. But listeners familiar with higher education know there's a lot of silos in higher ed. There's a lot of, like, they do this, we do this, never the twain shall meet.
So probably it sounds like a combination both of different departments siloed, using maybe like sometimes the same products or different products in different ways and not talking to each other.
Yep.
But also I would assume even like each campus probably is purchasing a different set of products.
Yep.
As well, right? Because not everyone needs every single product, but probably there are some that are much more commonly used than others.
Yeah. Yeah. So different packages and, you know, at this point, we're still looking at the different experiences. So talking about what the business was like before this, obviously we didn't exist as an anthology business, but each team was doing combinations of things like job aids and support sites to live trainings on site all the time to sort of a mix and match of maybe sometimes we charge people for it, sometimes we don't. And so we didn't even have a single package to look at and say, well, okay, everyone's doing it this way, let's go with this model. Yeah,
this is the one that we can really replicate. And this is before that executive you mentioned really came in and was driving to have a more structured academy. This is kind of like what you were doing ad hoc before.
Yeah, this is what all those, the different legacy companies, as we call them, each of them were doing, and then bringing that all into one space. And then, yeah, the executive saying, we got to put this together.
Okay, so this is really interesting. I promise that we'll get to the fireworks factory in a moment, but I want to stay on this in a moment. Like,
for sure.
What was it that this executive was so passionate about when you said they'd seen success in the past?
Yeah.
Like, was it, you know, kind of that initial starting point of like streamlining implementation? Was it revenue generating? Like, what was it, I guess, that was making that executive so passionate about investing in this more unified academy approach in the first place?
I think it was twofold. One, it was obviously revenue. That had been a huge revenue stream for his previous company. He saw that as successful, but he also really bought into the idea of a trained customer being a retained customer. And how are we making sure that our training is matching what we are expecting from our clients? Are we providing them with the right information at the right times to get them to success, to get them to renew, all of those pieces? And that's what they were seeing that's what he had seen in his previous company, was a really good success of customer retention as well.
Got it. Okay. And so you're doing that and you're making the effort to pull together these different product concepts and terms and somehow, like, not just unify it under one academy, but also make things look and feel more similar to each other, so you don't have to like reteach every product in different ways.
Yeah. And as you mentioned earlier, not every campus had all the same products, but what was really important to us was that it felt like the client was having a consistent training experience, no matter what product they started with or what products of ours they were using overall.
Got it. Okay. And so now, let's reorient ourselves in time. Now we're in fall 2021. do the timelines line up such that you're just launching this thing for the first time at the same time the Blackboard is happening?
Pretty much. We launched the first round of our academy in March of 2021 and slowly started to build out, you know, and that was really what I'll call like minimum viable product, right? We were trying to get something out the door. We were trying to figure out still where we needed to iterate. And then September, October, 2021, it was announced you're merging with this large Blackboard company. And Blackboard, as you mentioned earlier, name is recognized by a lot of folks. And there was suddenly this feeling of, oh, well, we have to take this into account. And they had their own academy, Blackboard Academy, that was now a totally different methodology, you know, ideology. And now we had a whole new package we had to put together. And that was... Yeah. Yeah, fall 2021.
Oh my God. That's actually the same time, I think, that they announced that Salesforce was acquiring Slack. So you and I are probably thinking about very similar things at a very similar point in time. I'd be curious, like, you described kind of moving from ad hoc to something more consistent. You described trying to package things up a little bit more into a recurring revenue model. But like, tell me about the mix of services that you are offering, especially as you got to that first launch, maybe not, you know, so much what you were doing when things were completely ad hoc.
Sure. Yeah. So all of this was happening. This was taking shape in 2020, 2021. So obviously the state of the world was probably influencing us more than we even recognized at the time. So all of the offerings we were putting together for these subscription models were based on-demand or virtual live training. We had no... Mm-hmm. Components of an on-site, no components of a, you know, live in-person delivery model. And that is actually still the case. But when we were putting those all together, it was, we need to have on-demand content that's easy for our clients to access whenever they need it. And we can deliver live virtual trainings. We also, when we first put together these subscriptions, we tried to put a lot into them. And I think we took on more than we really could deliver at the time. So we put things in like roundtables and office hours and all these things that maybe are more what would be considered in the community space now, but we were trying to, we were kind of just trying to do it all because we thought
social learning and community are very close to one another.
Exactly. And let's just put everything in there and see what the clients are interested in and see where they resonate. And it quickly became apparent, one, our team wasn't large enough to support all of the initiatives we had tried to put out there. And it just, you know, the types of offerings we were doing, we didn't really have any training or prep for the teams on how to do that, how to lead an effective office hours. Our teams were coming with training backgrounds. And so it was just a very different space. So our offerings mainly on demand and those live virtual trainings, as well as some platform functionality that I'll talk about a little bit later when we get into those specifics of those packagings.
C-Lab is proudly sponsored by Thought Industries. They've got a super robust tech platform to run your customer ed program, and they've built a think tank and community. Just look, they've released the Customer Education Playbook, a definitive book on customer ed for practitioners. They've released frameworks like maturity models, assessments, and toolkits, and they've got great community events like the Cognition Conference, roundtables, and discussion forums. But of course, there's also the tech forward platform. Thought Industries has developed a headless solution to allow for heavy customization and has a multi-tenant architecture built to scale custom learning portals to your client base to deliver personalized learning for different roles and groups. Check out Thought Industries as you grow and evolve your program, especially if you're doing things like adding paid subscriptions, using free or freemium learning in your marketing strategy, integrating your learning data into your org's overall data strategy, or learning data to prove ROI. Check them out at thoughtindustries.com and tell them C-Lab sent you.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, why don't we come back to packaging in a moment, and let's talk about pricing first before we get to packaging. So again, you mentioned trying to go to a subscription model, you mentioned recurring revenue, but like how did you decide on pricing for your offerings? How do you decide on pricing for your offerings, especially thinking about like what's free, what's paid, what's subscription, what's a la carte, you know, that would be interesting.
If you ask my boss, she will tell you that pricing is not my strong suit. There was many tearful conversations early on where I was trying to put together spreadsheets and figuring out, okay, if we charge this much, what does this look like in 5 years? And struggled through a lot of those early conversations because we didn't really have any model that we were looking at specifically. So we knew we needed to continue to provide some level of free product training. As a software company, we're not going to provide products to people without any training whatsoever. So that sort of led us to this idea of we have to have some kind of base package. There has to be something that's included with every product subscription. And that became our essential package. And that was going to be, again, included, so no cost. And then from there, we have two other tiers that we look at, our enhanced and our enhanced plus models. And the pricing for those was very disparate. So we have contract values for our products. Again, looking at these 40 products, we have contract values from anywhere from $5,000 to, you know, over $1 million. You can't have a single price point that makes sense for all of your clients. You're either charging way too much or way too little. And so where we eventually landed was a percentage of either the ACV or the ARR. So contract value or recurring value of those individual contracts.
And so you would say, for instance, like percentages. So you would have different percentages for each of them.
We have tiered levels of contract value that correspond with tiered percentages. It's a very complex model. It's a little chart that I have to send out and explain and say, what's your contract value? Okay, you're at 4% and 6%, or you're at 20% and 30%. And so that is our current pricing that we have, is those tiers with a tiered percentage.
Okay, got it. But you might say, for instance, just to try to like put an example, like product A has an average annual contract value of like $500,000. And in general, the training subscription for that should be sold at like 10% of the product value. So they're going to pay, what number did I say originally? So they're going to pay like 50K for annually for the training subscription. Whereas like product B is 5,000 annual contract value, and they're like, okay, you can't like give it away for $50. So there it has to be like a higher percentage of the contract value, because you still have to get ROI on the time that you spend to deliver that content. Is that about, is that, that's what you're saying?
That's a, exactly how we look at it right now.
Okay, cool. So, and then, and that's on top of a base level essentials included in your subscription, right? We don't always like to say free, included with your subscription package of self-serve e-learning, is it?
Yeah, on-demand like, content,
It's all on demand. Okay, cool.
So it's on demand video resources primarily. We do have a few additional resources that are included that our teams have put together to support implementation processes, things like that.
Yeah. Okay. And so now we're kind of getting into packaging. So you alluded to this a moment ago, but let's dig into it. So thinking about those now, those paid packages, and assuming that probably there's different elements for each product included in those relative subscriptions, right? Because you probably don't like, not every product operates the same or at the same price point. Like, tell me about how you think about what gets packaged into the, I guess, the paid plans for each of those products. And are there different tiers that include more stuff? Do you do like super premium a la carte stuff on top that's not as subscription? Like, yeah, just take me through it.
Yeah. So we have our two paid tiers, our Enhanced and Enhanced Plus. And the line between how we think about essential versus things that might be in those two tiers is really going to be our essential content is system admin, main user, you're learning sort of the entirety of the system from a very main user focus. So that's, you know, used during implementation, used during the initial configuration and setup of the tools. It can be referenced at any time. It's useful material throughout the length of the contract.
Yeah.
And then what we look at for Enhanced and Enhanced Plus is end user training. So a lot of the questions we were getting from clients were around that train the trainer model, right? I don't want to have to be the one who trains everyone on my campus how to use this tool, even though I just learned how to use it. What options are there? And that's where it felt like a good idea or an idea that made sense to put that end user train the, not train the trainer model content. So we have things like learning plans that are specific to the users and the roles on campus. So perhaps somebody like a registrar needs to learn specific functions and specific functionality. So we package up and curate that more in that enhanced space. The enhanced is all still on-demand content. And that is all, again, end user, intended to be end user facing. And then our Enhanced Plus package is essential and enhanced content, of course. But then the additions there are going to be our virtual live trainings that are one-to-many format that are delivered by our team of education and training specialists who are oftentimes our subject matter experts for products. So they're delivering that content there. And then the other benefit with the Enhanced Plus is that we actually provide clients with a space in our training platform for them to put their own content, for them to use our content and create their own curated lists of learning plans or training that's specific to processes that they may have that they've built out, so that if they need to do training on campus, the training for that product is all in one place. And so that's that other benefit with Enhanced Plus. And then
Blackboard instance where they can also like add their own content in there and customize it.
Yep.
Probably also helpful in building their confidence with the product too.
Yes. So interestingly, you brought up Blackboard, and we're still, I haven't really spoken to the integration of the two academies and of the additional offerings that we have.
Let's talk about that.
So when, so the differences between the two, the what I'll call the Anthology Academy legacy, was specifically focused on product training. So we had this, what I was just talking through, the end users, that focus area. Blackboard Academy, on the other hand, was very focused towards professional learning and development, and primarily for faculty. So Blackboard being a tool that faculty is using. So very different approaches to what we called the academy in each space. And
why is that? Like, why is Blackboard? I'm just curious, like, strategically, why they were more focused already on professional learning instead of product training.
You know, I was thinking through this when I was going through my notes, and I wasn't part of the initial development of the Blackboard Academy and the background behind all that. But I think the intention was Blackboard was really setting itself up to be able to support faculty making the move to digital teaching, that this is, it's still sort of a new concept, you know, post-COVID. Yeah,
that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And so wanting to give their clients an opportunity to not just use a tool, but to develop the mindsets and the, you know, professional learning needed to really use those effectively. So that
was because it's not necessarily about even the complexity of their product. It's actually entirely about effective change management and building user confidence so that their product will get adopted. And you're not just like the one professor who is like doing this all on like paper or syllabi or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that was their focus. And I imagine at some point, you know, they realized we have to help usher our clients into this new digital age. They're not necessarily going to do it themselves. So that was, I assume, the impetus behind that development of the academy.
Okay, Blackboard cool. Academy. Cool. So then, yeah, let's keep going on that then. So like you're talking about merging the offerings now.
Yes.
Let's keep going.
From about, gosh, where are we on our timeline? Spring of 2022 to July of 2023.
Okay, not too far in the past.
Yep, we had to figure out how to combine these two. And a couple interesting pieces that came up. So our Anthology Academy was based in a competitor system to Blackboard. So it obviously didn't make sense for us to keep using that platform. So part of the merging also was choosing a new training platform where everything could live, both the on-demand video resources and all of that, as well as this larger professional learning that's delivered more in that classroom style that Blackboard has. So we were needing to look for a new platform to bring these two pieces together. We still wanted to offer all of the professional learning through the Blackboard Learn platform, but also needed to support a few other content pieces in a way that made sense for all of the products that we had. So that's really where our focus has been for the last year and a half. We are incredibly lucky again that we actually have a team called Ed Products we have a director of Ed Products who led the development, who led the sort of building of the content and the technology and the behind the scenes pieces, which was really helpful for me because I'm focusing on change management of trying to bring all these teams together now and having them understand, okay, product training team, we need to start thinking about what professional learning we can offer. And hey, professional learning team, we got to start thinking about if there's product training needs we still want to fill for Blackboard Learn. So
you have to now bring the offerings to parity with each other once again.
Absolutely. Yep. And I will say we are not in a consistent space right now. We still have, because we have so many offerings on both sides, it's going to take us a long time. And we've acknowledged that. Yeah. We've said, you know, it's to get everything to look the same or to have the access be the same. But in general, again, the idea was we can bring these all together, have a single space for this product training and professional learning, and figure out where they all fit together with combining packaging. Again, you know, we have these tiers over here. We have in the Blackboard Academy, it was sold by seats. So seats to the individual courses. So what is that? You know, do we just keep offering those separately? So going way back to your question about, do we have anything up, you know, beyond our Enhanced Plus, as we brought in this Blackboard Academy piece, what we've now done is included in the Enhanced Plus package seats to the professional learning spaces. So offering, you know, per tier, like 20 seats that you get, you can enroll in any of the courses that are available over here. And you get those seats as part of your Enhanced Plus contract, which gives you some exposure to the Blackboard Learn space if you're, you know, if you have it, if you don't have that as your LMS, and allows you to do your professional learning alongside a product training piece.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And where my mind goes a couple of places when you say that, but the first one is revenue recognition, because once you're talking about selling seats and the customer needs to claim those seats and you need to monitor uptake and make sure that they're actually consuming what you sold them. Like, how do you handle that? How do you handle revenue recognition and monitoring uptake and all that good stuff?
Yeah. So I'm going to try to use some of the words that I've learned in the last 2 years. And again, if my boss is listening, she'll laugh after the fact, but we have Blackboard Academy has an online training subscription offering as well. So that was 20 seats to any of the learning offerings. And that is essentially recognized right up front. We actually were just able to make some changes to have that be ratable revenue. I think I'm right with that word there. So it's recognized essentially monthly, because delivery doesn't change based on whether they take a seat or not. They've purchased the seats.
And it's recognized at a consistent rate. Therefore, it is ratable.
Yes. Yes. Did I do it right?
Does not mean it can be turned into a rat.
This episode is brought to you by TechSmith.
That's right, TechSmith. You know them from Snagit and Camtasia. Snagit lets you create images, GIFs, and videos to show others exactly what you see. And Camtasia is the famous screen recording and video editing software made easy.
Yeah, I love it, Adam. You know, I have to say my story here is that Camtasia kind of saved my soul. When I was working, trying to build my first program, I discovered Camtasia and other TechSmith products, and I needed something that was relatively inexpensive, easy to use, and powerful. Overnight, I went from doing tedious editing, recording, and just whatever I had available to me alone with little coaching, being able to make really super high quality videos in a short amount of time.
That sounds amazing. And so if you want to create and share images and videos for better training, tutorials, lessons, and everyday communication, you can do that at techsmith.com. That's techsmith.com.
That was what I first thought, actually.
That's what I would think as well.
Sneaky. Yeah. So it's recognized at a consistent rate. Yes. Same thing with the seats in the Enhanced Plus subscription. The idea is it's a subscription where, you know, it's a monthly charge that's coming in, and you can use the seats when those courses come up, or you don't. There's a little bit of responsibility on behalf of the client. Obviously, we have things like customer success and accounts teams who are helping to guide and say, hey, you've got these seats, you should use them. But ultimately, it saves us.
That's more about using the seats and consumption as being predictive of their success with the product, not because you need to have them actually sit in a class or sit in one of the professional development offerings to be able to recognize the revenue.
Correct. Yep. Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, cool. So, do you want to use any other terms? I really enjoyed ratable revenue.
No, I don't have any new. That took me 2 years to learn. So
okay. I'll see if I can think of any other fun. Like the first time I ever joined a services team, I felt like I was in like some game of jargon bingo that everyone else was playing that I didn't understand yet. So it took me a while too.
I still feel that way after merging four companies in 3 years. There's, you know, initials and acronyms all over the place, and you just go, someday I'll figure out what that means.
Oh, literally, there were many times where I got through a sentence and the next thought in my head was like, please tell me those words made sense in that order.
That's what I'm saying. I'm using ratable in a way that I think works because I've tried to learn it, but I'm sure people will call me out if I'm not using it correctly. So
okay, listeners, if Katie used ratable revenue wrong, get in the comments.
If okay, I used so it we're right, get in the comments.
If you used it right, get extra in the comments.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're talking about revenue recognition, but in order to recognize revenue, we also have to be able to sell the thing. And you were talking about having a really complex catalog of offerings that can be sold and are at different percentage points, et cetera, et cetera. Like, how do you handle education sales? I'm curious about how you, I guess, create awareness and enablement for the teams who sell it. Do you have dedicated people selling education or services, or is it your AEs who also sell the product? Like, tell me about that.
Yeah. So the reminder of, we had these 40 products, and with the merger and the offerings and the services there, around 60 products is the number that gets thrown around of, or 60 offerings that could be sold.
Okay. I thought it was going to be worse, honestly. I thought you were going to say more. I thought you were going to be like, now we have 120.
Just 60. Just 60. So as you can imagine, it is very difficult to keep any one thing at the top of mind for our sales teams, our customer success teams who are having these conversations. But we do rely internally on them a lot to know that the Academy is an offering, know that it's a recurring offering, because that is a piece that, again, is being asked to be supported more and more. And so we are in that space. But again, 60 products, way too much for anyone to remember. And so this past year, we actually brought on a business development specialist position that reports into me. And her role is going out, connecting with those CXNs, with the RSNs, with, you know, project managers in the implementation spaces, demoing the Academy to clients, having those conversations with the clients directly, and really driving the internal conversations that support and enable those teams to be able to then sell the Academy as well. Mm-hmm. So that has been, again, incredibly lucky. I recognize, as I talk through some of the things that we have on our team and our space, but that business development specialist, as we look into 2024, I'm really excited. You know, she's at the point now where she's really learned the offerings. She can speak to the value to clients and will be engaging in a lot more of those conversations to hopefully get this in front of clients a lot more often.
That makes a lot of sense. And like, in addition to having this BD specialist, like, what are you doing in terms of marketing your services? How are you driving awareness with customers beyond that?
Yeah, we have a partnership with our marketing team. We're meeting with them fairly regularly to try to give updates on, here are some things we want to highlight. Here are some things, you know, if we're sending out newsletters or things around specific product areas, making sure that we are including some of our content, highlighting our live trainings that are available at the Enhanced Plus space. And then obviously, as we did the rollout of this combined Academy, which really launched in July of 2023, we worked very closely with marketing to do a lot of messaging to clients around, what does this mean? What does this look like? What new things do we have access to? And so that's been our last really big push was, hey, there's something new, come check it out.
It's kind of like making it a moment, a marketing moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Last question, maybe about sales and marketing, although not the last question about revenue. How do you deal with discounting, right? Because we know we go out and we try to sell this stuff, and then the account exec comes back and says, well, that's great, but I need to focus on license revenue, so why don't you discount this to zero? And you go, well, no, I have a business to run. So,
like, yes, yep. That never happens, but I could see where it could.
Right. Are we winking? Did I see you wink?
Yes, we're winking. Okay, yeah.
We're winking. It never happens.
So we've been able to do a couple of things. So one is, the Academy is sold right now per product. So clients might have five products, but they may decide, look, we only really want the product training, the end user stuff for two of our products. So we wanted to make that a possibility. However, if clients are purchasing the Academy for multiple products, that's where we can start giving some discounts in there. We can encourage to use the total contract value for all of the products, which might lower that percentage, going back to the tier and the complexity there. And then we also have a managed services team with Anthology. And so oftentimes we'll discount if there's a managed services contract as well. We can provide some discounting there. And then we've also been pushing lately discounts on multi-year. So if somebody does a 5-year contract with us, we'll give them the first year for free. If they do, you know, 7 to 10 years, we can do another year for free. So I've been lucky in having a VP who's very supportive of me working in that space, working with our RSMs and CXMs to say what works, what do you need, what does this look like. When we put together our pricing originally back in 2021, the advice we saw out on the internet was you can always lower prices, you can't easily raise prices. So we started at a tier that we thought, let's just see how this works in the market. And that allowed us to do a little bit more discounting, a little bit more flexibility. And I will also say, as we look into 2024, we're looking to simplify our pricing models, which may include, you know, changing some of those tiers, changing some of those percentages overall. If any of the CXMs on Anthology are listening, that's not happened yet. That, you know, you got to come talk to me first.
we're doing change management right now, live on the air.
Exactly.
makes sense. And also, sorry that I accuse you of just wanting to discount things to zero. I know that you are better intention than that. Cool. So that brings us to an important point, though, right? Because like the reason that a salesperson might want to do that isn't just because they want the deal to be easier, although certainly that's a component of it. It's also because when you think about the role the training plays, it's not just to generate revenue for your training business. It's also to support the overall success of your product. So like, how do you think about balancing those goals of, on one hand, generating revenue and margin for your training services business with supporting the overall business and the overall software license?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I spend some time thinking about how to articulate the way I think about our academy in support of the product space. And I do think we are a partner to every part of the organization, including product. Our team has a really good relationship with our product team in most places and most of the product spaces, and is having conversations about, yes, of course, we're always going to provide that essential level of training. We're going to make sure our clients know how to use the tools. But when we talk about a longer-term training plan or a longer-term training strategy with clients, we don't want it to just be, we hope that people find the information they need 2, 3, 4, 5 years into a contract. We want them to know up front, hey, we're thinking about the way that you're going to need to onboard new staff, onboard new faculty. We're putting our trainings together specifically for the things that we know will come up for our clients. And we're charging for them because there's a value to them. And if we just put everything out there as free content, you know, this idea of if it's free, it's not as worthwhile, or it may not be something that we're actually accessing and using. And so like it
value
drives
perception element.
Absolutely. So it's, you know, potentially driving our clients to say, oh, great, we have this training strategy now in place, and we have a system that's going to allow us to support those strategies year over year, not just what does it look like in that first year or 2 years of implementation.
Yeah, that's a really cool argument, right? Because that resonates with me, the idea that, yeah, we could make it so the customers find all this stuff by themselves, but we know that that's unrealistic. They're busy, they have other things going on. So we need to do the work to make that clearer to them and to curate their experience. To curate their experience, it requires work and costs from us. So unless you want to figure out how to fund that part of the business, then like we need to figure out how to cover our costs for it. So therefore the training needs to be paid. Therefore we need to sell it. And therefore we need to collect revenue for it and not discount it.
Yeah. And the other, that's absolutely right. The other piece of this is we have a really skilled team of education and training specialists. A lot of them have ID backgrounds. A lot of them had teaching backgrounds. So the content we're producing is not, you know, somebody recording off the side of their desk with a crappy microphone and, you know, just following along on a screen. We have been really intentional with creating our content to have learning outcomes, to be focused on how adults learn, to be short pieces that they can, you know, watch individually or as part of a larger collection. And so there is value to it. There is a lot of behind the scenes that is happening to make this what we hope is a really good learning experience for our clients.
Well, Anthology customers, if you are listening, I certainly hope that you're really recognizing the benefits of that. You're not getting a low effort experience. So I agree. There's definitely like a good like pay for quality argument there. Katie, what haven't we talked about yet that you would want our audience to know today?
Oh gosh. To some extent, it feels like we haven't even really scratched the surface on what all the going through the process of packaging and what is included, what's not included, because it was a somewhat of a painful experience, I think, overall. But I would advise folks who are trying to put together these packages, you know, there is a little bit of trial and error. There has to be a little bit of grace of, let's see if this works. Let's see if clients want this, making sure to get the client feedback. That's a big focus for us for 2024 is, do these packages make sense? Are the values that we're seeing here, are the clients seeing those as well? And are we articulating those in the way we need to?
Yeah. And you made this point very early in the show today, where you were talking about the way that you piloted different offerings and saw which ones got uptake and which ones didn't, as well as which ones you could deliver effectively versus couldn't or required a new skill set. So I love the idea of taking an iterative approach towards that. And I like the idea of saying, hey, let's try this and see how it works, instead of feeling like on day one, you need to release out the gate with the most perfect version of the package, because like perfect doesn't survive contact with your customers.
Exactly. And, you know, I imagine if you and I were to speak in a year, we would have a totally different, you know, set of offerings or customer feedback that we've taken into account and made changes to. And, you know, I would also say if there's folks listening who have the amount of products or complexity that we have, I would love to talk to other folks that have this sort of really expanded space and trying to figure out, you know, how you keep that consistency, how you continue to support different product sets, different audiences, things like that. Would love to chat with more folks about that as well.
That's how we get better, by finding the others. Katie, how can people get in contact with you to do exactly what you just said?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn, Katie Felton. You can also always email me at kfelton@anthology.com. Would love to chat with folks there. I also will say, I know a lot of the folks on my team, my education and training specialists, listen to this podcast pretty regularly. And so I do have to give them a shout out, because all of the things I just talked about, all of the deliveries, the packaging, all of that wouldn't be possible without the work that team has done to create such amazing content. So want to give a shout out to them that, you know, they're doing all of the work that I just imagine it and I tell them and they run with it. So it's a wonderful team.
Thank you, Katie's team. And thank you for listening to the podcast. That's cool too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. They're real into professional development.
Amazing. Well, Katie, as you said, things might look really different in the year. Listeners, if you want Katie to come back on this show in a year and give us an update, please get in the comments. Let us know. And if you want to learn more, we have a podcast website at customer.education where you can find show notes and other material. And please, if you found value in this podcast, please share. Let others know. We love it when people comment on LinkedIn, actually, and tell us what they learned from certain episodes, or if you have a response or a different perspective on something we shared, tag us. We read those. We like to come in and engage with those. And so do a lot of other people who listen to the show. So please do that. I'm on LinkedIn as well. Thanks to Alan Coda for providing our theme music that is probably playing under me right now. And we know a lot of you are subscribed. What we really appreciate is a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Please, like, whatever you're looking at right now, hold the image of that thing in your mind. And next time you see it, let that be a mental trigger for you to pull out your phone, go to iTunes, and click 5 stars for the C-Lab podcast. It's really easy to do. You just need to remember to do it. And to our audience, thanks for joining us. Go out and educate, experiment, and find your people. Thanks for listening. And thanks, Katie.
Thanks, Adam.